United Lutheran Seminary presents the Seminary Explores podcast, conversations on faith, art, people, politics, theology, life, and more, with voices from around the corner and around the globe.
The economy is flourishing. Why do we still have poverty around us and among us? Hello, I'm Jerry Christensen, and this is the Seminary Explores with Mr. Leon Reed, who has kindly agreed to come back to talk to us, this time on questions about poverty. There's a great deal we do know that is not just impressionistic or opinions, but actual statistics. Leon was at one point a professional staff member to the Senate Banking Committee and a longtime defense consultant. We need to make sure first that we define poverty or levels of poverty, because it is not necessarily just people who have absolutely nothing. What kind of definitions are you comfortable with?
The United Way of Pennsylvania came up with, they did a very in-depth study statewide, and they came up with a definition that basically was families that cannot afford to buy the basic luxuries of, the basic necessities of life. They did a budget, well, how much for rent, how much for food, et cetera. No frills, no birthday parties, no vacations. And that is for a single person about $20,000 a year. For a family of four, a little short of $60,000 a year. That seemed like a good number to me. In Pennsylvania, as well as Adams County, the same number, a little more than a third of all the people are below that threshold.
So poverty is more than a third.
Right. So poverty is a very real thing once you look beyond the bars and the restaurants and the wine tours and the battlefield.
Yeah.
Gettysburg is a small town, and it has the problems of a small town.
We're going to try to extrapolate on the basis of this, not only, as you said, for Adams County, Gettysburg, a small rural community, but as you've already said, too, extrapolate on the basis of the experience, the statistics for the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, because these are pretty well the issues almost everywhere, wouldn't you say?
The problems that United Way, we're looking at Adams County and Gettysburg. The problems United Way found were fairly consistent outside the big cities in Pennsylvania. The big cities are a whole different thing. And by extrapolation, the United States. The notion of a full-time, well-paid job with a pension and health benefits, United Auto Workers type blue-collar job, is pretty much extinct in this country. Many more workers working hourly, working part-time, working at will. The term the gig economy has come about, like a musician gets a gig tonight. Uber, jobs like that, you work when the employer needs you to work, and otherwise we'll call you when we need you. This leads to underemployment, it leads to gaps in employment, it leads most significantly to people who don't have any pension. It's the Gilded Age, you know. Be thrifty during your working life if you want to be able to retire, save some money, don't get sick. Health benefits, et cetera.
Yeah.
That's very common now. That is the outside of the Washington, D.C. and San Francisco is the common life of American towns.
Trying to put $60,000 together a year is the challenge. And so, as you said, just to use an anecdotal incident, a physician friend of mine said he had a patient recently who, and this is not uncommon, who had three jobs in a day. Before dawn, delivers papers. By 8 o'clock, he's at his regular job. After 5 o'clock, he's driving, I think, for Uber or something, and barely makes ends meet at that rate. So this is what you have called the Uber economy. No, casting no aspersions on Uber, but it's all a part-time economy. And with that, by the way, Leon, comes the problem of pensions and health insurance and some of the other things that we had counted on for the support of families.
Now, Gettysburg is in many ways like not any other small town, but it is also unique. It's a college town that gives you the student rentals, the bar scene, more cultural opportunities than a town like this size would normally generate. It's also a beach town. It's, you know, in many ways, it's like, you know, Rehoboth, mm-hmm. in the sense of you've got the summer people, the T-shirt shops, a lot of, if you want to work April to September, there's all the jobs you could find. Minimum wage, seasonal work, but they roll up the sidewalks in November, and those jobs are away for the winter. They're not sustaining jobs to begin with. 65% of the workforce in Adams County has to leave the county to find their work. And even so, even with 65% of the workforce leaving the county every day, the most stark finding we found was Adams County cannot generate enough jobs that pay a living wage to support its population.
We have lots of jobs, but they're not living wage jobs, I think is what we're trying to say. Summer employees, you mentioned, other seasonal jobs. The other factor in poverty, I understand from your work and the statistics you brought with us, is housing. Jobs and housing, you say, are the two major factors that one has to deal with poverty.
Both. In the case of housing, Gettysburg is much tougher market than, say, Chambersburg, Hanover, other small towns nearby. For all practical purposes, the rental vacancy rate is 0%. The rents are very high. This is partly summer people, partly student rentals, if you're a builder, which would you rather build, a small apartment building for people who barely are getting by, or a house on Cannon Ridge? There's plenty of people like me, you know, retiring here from Northern Virginia, retiring here from Frederick. This is attracting a lot of people with a little bit of money coming from higher cost of living places. There just isn't rental property being built. A guy who's the head of the housing authority told me there are only two apartment complexes in town. I found that surprising, but he said that's all there is. So that if you're in that market, you know, just graduated from college and finding your feet under you, trying to, you know, you just got out of jail and you're trying to get back on your feet, there's nowhere to live. The housing vouchers are very hard to,
extremely hard to come
many
by.
More people eligible than the vouchers, and the voucher doesn't guarantee you housing. You're likely to take your voucher around and find there's no place you can rent. So it's a very tough town to be poor in. The social services, the county, the borough, the townships provide essentially nothing. We do have a very active nonprofit sector. The churches sponsor much of it. SCAP, the soup kitchen, CARES, the homeless shelter, the county homeless shelter. They provide invaluable service. Many of them are under financial stress.
We'll get to that. That's the ironic
but,
thing.
But the services available, people often obsess about all these people living high on welfare payments. 0.3% of the population gets a welfare payment, and the average is $300 a month. The social safety net is fairly frayed.
The image of the welfare queen is...
It's bogus. It's a non-existent phenomenon.
Yeah, try and do it yourself. Try and become a queen on or a king on welfare payments. Just doesn't work.
Right.
And the whole idea. Well, then we've got to get into some moral issues, but that's not our job today. Whether or not people who are in poverty just simply don't have the willpower you know, get yourself a job. That may have been there years ago. I don't know. But
get yourself a job rings particularly hollow when probably two-thirds of the people living below that affordable income level are working often multiple jobs. Walmart, if you work at Walmart, for the most part, your income level is such, you're eligible for food stamps. Mm-hmm. That means every one of us taxpayers is subsidizing the Walton family fortune because we're paying the food stamps to allow those employees to survive because the Walton family has made a business decision they're not going to pay them a living wage. Mm-hmm. There are certainly people we've found who psychological problems, lack of an education, lack of training, are going to have a hard time finding and holding a job. There are people of that. But most of the people we're talking about, they're holding jobs. And they're just not earning a living wage.
The other impact that occurs to me about jobs and is related also to housing is hunger. Kids who don't get breakfast or even lunches.
Hunger is, of all of the issues, hunger is the one that has the most generous support system. You've got the soup kitchen, which one serves lunch a day to anybody who walks in the door.
Okay.
No requirements to fill out a form. You've got the
But you got to go somewhere and get it, which means it impinges on your job. I shouldn't interrupt, but all of a sudden it dawns on me. Yeah, it's easy to say that, but
There are a number of voluntary, there's food stamps, there's free and reduced price lunch. Yeah. Nevertheless, hunger is, even with all of that, still a problem. And hunger, after 10 years of economic recovery, still as big a problem as it was at the height of the recession 10 years ago. All those places, even the ones that are income restricted, like the food pantry, their business now is as big or bigger than it was at the depths of the recession. Poverty is a very durable thing.
Leon Reed is our guest today. He's the former professional staff member of the Senate Banking Committee and a defense consultant. We're talking about poverty. Why does it continue to exist when our economy is so strong? We talk about the two major factors in poverty, jobs and housing. Let's move on to some practical questions then that follow from this, Leon, now that we laid the groundwork. We talked about hunger. Now, how about health care, let alone child care? Let's start with health care, or take your pick.
Obamacare ACA has been a blessing. Many more people are covered by insurance. A lot of children are covered by CHIP. Nevertheless, gaps, the comment is often by Republicans who are trying to vote to abolish ACA. There's a difference between health insurance and health care. Still about 10% of the people have no insurance. And many of those who do, the deductibles are so high, it's hard to use. It is still true for probably every one of those 37% of the people. One medical emergency likely means bankruptcy. Obviously, if you're sick and not getting it treated, if you're pregnant and not getting prenatal care, it's propounding a problem. Just as sort of, for example, education, like healthcare, is projects poverty into the next generation.
Yeah.
You come to school less well equipped for an education, you're likely not to get one, and the income gap between a high school graduate and a college graduate is almost $1 million over the course of a lifetime. Child care is a phenomenal problem because particularly a single mother, if she's to work, she needs child care.
Yes.
That's a necessity.
Yes.
Child care is hard to come by, and there is a state program that can help pay part of the cost, but you have to find the health care, mm-hmm. you have to come up with the expense for it.
Mm-hmm.
Working couples, I found this even with people working at much higher income than the poverty level, you reach the point one of the two people begins to say, we got two kids in child care and one of us is basically working to pay the child care.
Just working for that, yes.
Tell mm-hmm. me again why we're doing this. For someone in poverty, it is one of the biggest deterrents to mm-hmm. being able to get,
yeah.
first question yep. a single mother's yep. gonna be asked by an employer is, so what's your child care arrangements?
Yeah.
Because, you know, we can't ask you, are you mm-hmm. are your children going to stop you from being able to? But we can ask practical questions, and it's just going to make it harder to find a job.
One question that nearly always escapes us, we don't make the connection, that between poverty and the justice system, by which I mean specifically, who gets arrested, who gets charged, who gets incarceration, who gets bailed out? How does all that work? Are there effects of poverty? Obviously, there are effects of poverty on the justice system.
Yeah. Poverty, incarceration is both a symptom of poverty. That is, if you're poor, you're less likely to get good representation. You're not going to be as likely to make bail, etc. It is also, though, a cause of poverty. If you get put in jail, you can count on your job being gone.
Mm-hmm.
And the employer might hire you back, but if he has another vacancy. There are, at any given moment, if we're locking away nothing but violent felons and domestic abuse and things like that, it's a social decision to make. Maybe that's worth it. At any given moment, though, in Adams County Jail, there are more or less 100 people sitting in jail who have been convicted of no crime. They're in there because they couldn't make bail. Or they're in there because they've been released, but they missed a payment on one of the absolutely incredible number of fees and fines that the Adams County penal system imposes. If you go, it's like if you buy a house and you're paying all these recordings. If you get charged with a crime, they start out with clicking off the fees you have to pay for your own, basically for your own prosecution. And if you're ever late with a fee or a fine, you might be back in jail.
10 days in jail and you may lose your job.
2 days in jail and you might lose your job. 60% of the charge, I'm not making light of misdemeanor DUI. It's an offense.
Yes.
But 60% of the charges filed in Adams County are misdemeanor DUI, drug, or public disorder complaints. Those might in some cases be felonies being pled down, but you do have to ask,
mm-hmm.
is there a better, more creative way? Jurisdictions around the country are working hard to figure out how to reduce their prison population. Adams County, the prison population continues to go up, and it seems like a problem. There's also no transition program. The counties nearby us have a program to help get people how to make good decisions, how to prepare for a job, how to avoid getting into the messes you got yourself into that got you here. They don't even keep track of recidivism mm-hmm. statistics in Adams County.
Mm-hmm.
They were asked to participate in a grant-funded study. They told the people they're too busy to participate.
Yeah.
They won't be able to help.
And all this leads up to the final question, which is, we haven't got enough time for, unfortunately, but as these questions, these problems mount, the funding is going down, and it's not just because of inflation. We're getting actual cutbacks, federally, statewide?
Yes. Every year, it's a little game in Washington. Every year, the president's budget zeroes out just about every social-type program, and then they fight and fight and fight and fight and fight, and a compromise. The Pentagon budget's only going to go
mm-hmm.
up 20%. and these social programs are only going to be cut 20%. But you compound those cuts over a decade, you're losing a lot of money. Organizations like SCAP are in serious financial
trouble. Right now, in serious trouble. Things are closing. Programs are shutting down.
Survivors, place for victims of domestic violence closed due to financial insolvency. We're still getting services from York County. And there probably will be another organization, but SCAP is, the homeless shelter is in jeopardy. There is a very active local fundraising activity that will help. But yeah, the federal funding, which has been their main, disappearing like an iceberg during a hot summer. Part of that is decisions the state makes about how they distribute the money. But yes, our social safety net is being very challenged by current conditions.
Finally, you know, this is the question you always ask and you can't answer in 30 seconds, but it looks to me like you're leading up to a conclusion that it's time for some very bold thinking. There's got to be some sort of revision in our whole approach, because the day of the union-sponsored 60-hour week job that has substantial income and guarantees safety net disappearing, and honest people are falling into the poverty level out of no fault of their own.
Yes. We haven't yet reached the economic development folk, the Adams Economic Alliance and those groups. That needs a lot more emphasis. Adams County needs a lot of jobs and different jobs. More tourists don't create jobs that bring people out of poverty. We could have three times as many tourists here. It's not going to bring people out of poverty. We need fundamentally different housing policy and practice. We need more affordable housing.
I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but we could suggest a European model. We can suggest it for consideration. Guaranteed housing, guaranteed health care, guaranteed education for all.
This would be aspiration.
Are there other real alternatives to really try to jack up the economy?
There's incremental. I mean, there's an organization called At Home in Gettysburg. It's SCAP, it's HAC, most of the charitable groups. They are looking at alternatives for housing, and they're coming up with interesting ideas. Obviously, it's hard to attract a new GM plant. That would solve everybody's problem if someone put in an auto production plant, and there's UAW jobs for every high school graduate, like there was in the town I grew up in back in 1968. There's a lot of citizen activity underway to try to think their way through the problem.
And we're going to have cooperation from the state and federal level. I mean, individuals just can't contribute enough to keep this problem at bay.
Yeah, and we are a red area, and I think a lot of our elected representatives, you alluded to the thought process, I do think a lot of our elected representatives are probably inclined when looking at this to say, you know, all those people more comfortable getting, you know, why don't they go get a job? Mm-hmm. I mean, there is an education process that's needed with some of our elected representatives as well.
Leon Reed is our guest today. We've talked about questions concerning poverty. Why, when the economy goes up, poverty is also going up with it. I'm Jerry Christensen. You're listening to the Seminary Explorers. Have a very good day.
You have been listening to The Seminary Explores, a production of United Lutheran Seminary with campuses in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to visit our website at unitedlutheranseminary.edu. Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of United Lutheran Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.